This morning's reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 to 17. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This be the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Amanda. Well, music is one of those most wonderful gifts that God has given to us. I think I can say this very safely, that everybody loves music. I mean, music speaks to the soul. It stirs the passions. We tend to live in the music of the era that we were raised in as young adults. You know, this past Wednesday was a marvel here at Knox. We had video clips as part of the program for our over 80s. And I'll tell you, I like The Tennessee Waltz, sung by Patti Page. I like Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians doing Now Is the Time. I like Don Messer's Jubilee with Marg Osborne and Charlie Chamberlain. I like that. But, you know, as much as I like it, I cannot say that I love it. But there were people here who loved it. And when these clips were playing, I mean, you only had to look at them. It was coming down. I mean, it brought back so much. It spoke so deeply into their lives and the era that they grew up in. It's because of that, when we come to music and song and the life of the church, we can tread on very dangerous ground, sometimes quicksand, really, because, you know, in a church of all generations, you have all kinds of music that's liked and valued and appreciated. We need to pray. Let's pray. Lord God, you're the one who sings over us, so we know that in the Godhead, there is a deep love for song, for music. And we're made in your image. And we too are made to love the song, to love music. Lord, help us this morning, even before all of that, to love you and to love each other, and guide us and instruct us in your word. We give ourselves to you, Lord God, to reason together from your word, to examine your word and see what truth it speaks into our lives, especially when it comes to something so close to your heart and to our heart, the gift of music. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's Communion Sunday, and I'm certainly glad that it is Communion Sunday and speaking on this topic, because in a real way, we'll go through the message. It's going to be brief, but I hope that as I've prayed, you know, that we can examine all of this and look at all of this and gain God's truth from all this as it concerns the song and it concerns music. Because, as I said, if there's anybody who should love to sing, it's got to be Christians. The Christian faith is really a singing faith. And it's Jesus who's put the song and put the redemption song, the song of new life, into our hearts. And the songs of our faith are always and ever to be about the story, about the gospel. Songs about God's gospel and story. Worship week by week by week, we've been seeing this over the last 4 weeks, is really, and stepping back beyond music, but just looking at the whole area of worship, it's the representing of God's story, because we are fundamentally, profoundly forgetful people. And that story starts with this, that God is love. In the community of the Trinity, there's love there. God is love. And out of that love, it spills over and God creates. And then there is this deep and painful disconnect of sin. But God in His great love is the one who through Jesus redeems. And it doesn't stop there, because God's heart and God's plan is to make everything new. There's the story. There's the gospel. And if anything is to be said about the song and about music and the life of the church and God's people, it's a response to this story. Always and ever, a response to the story. So I've got three questions. Really quickly, I'm going to try and answer this morning from the Scripture about the song, the songs that Jesus puts into our hearts and how they fit into God's story. Let me just put up before you what those questions are. Where does music fit in our worship? And what is the music that we should be singing? And how is it that we are to sing? Pray for me as I speak, will you? Where does music fit into worship? Well, as I've already said, music is always a response to the story, to God's story. It flows out of a faith-filled response to the story. The story forms in us, and then music flows, spills out from the heart as we live and revel in that God story within us, the gospel story. Now, how is that story seen in the passage that Amanda read? Well, it's seen, first of all, and it's very key, it's very important, it underscores everything there really is to be said about music and the life of God's people, that there's to be unity in the body, Colossians 3 and verse 11. And here we read that there's not a Greek or Jew, there's not no circumcised or uncircumcised, there's the barbarian, the Scythian, the slave, or the free. No, there's no divisions. There's no separations. There's no walls like that. Christ is all, and Christ is in all. God's story, this gospel story, is about the work that God has done to bring brothers and sisters in Christ together into a new kind of relationship with each other. And the boundaries that might have separated us, that divided us, they're gone. And something new comes into being, and that's a unity with each other, where Jesus, even before the song, even before the music, Jesus becomes all, and Jesus is in all. My song isn't about me. It's about Jesus. The song flows out of the unity that I experience one with another with you. Knox Church is not, first of all, about what we sing at either 9 or 11. Knox Church is, first of all, about who we are. We're people who have been connected to God through Jesus Christ, and people who've been connected to each other. And all that previous disconnect that exists in the world that we live in, that's come down. The walls, the dividing walls are gone. What does the Scripture say? Galatians 3:28. No male or female. No, and you can go on. Think of all the other barriers. No young, no old, no contemporary, no traditional. All of that's gone. It's broken down. It's gone. The very first thing for us, the primary thing about us, is always Jesus. And our singing, our song, flows out of the right relationships that we have with each other in Christ. Now, sometimes the church in our day, the church in Canada, the U.S., the Western world especially, we've reversed that. We really have. And it's resulted in there's been horrible consequences to reversing that. Whenever we put singing first, we're going to end up at some point dividing. And we've seen that across the land. We've heard the horror stories that happens. But when we put our unity in Christ first, the relationships that we have with each other, then out of that unity comes the song, comes the singing, comes the joy and the confidence we can share with one another in the good times and in the challenging times of life. So music, where does it fit into our worship? It comes as a response to the relationship we have with God, the relationship that we have with each other, and out of that comes our music and our song. Well, what is the music that we should be singing? Again, going to Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, that's repeated as well in Ephesians, in the, I think it is the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Now, some translations really botched this. It's why this morning I've got this from the English Standard Version, because other translations put periods where there really are supposed to be commas. There are no periods in the original, in the Greek. And the ESV, English Standard Version, does this best with commas, really, where they belong, rather than the periods. Because this verse really is one of the key in the New Testament, in the whole of the Scripture, about not only just what, but why we sing. You follow it through. The word of Christ is to dwell in us richly. And that word of Christ, it's not talking about it here really as coming from the Scripture as such, directly. It's talking about it coming as we teach and admonish one another in our singing. The word of Christ comes to us as we sing and we teach and admonish each other. Now, I hope you got that. There's to be a congregational voice that gets lifted up to God, that speaks the word of Christ richly. As we sing, the Spirit of God takes the words that we're singing, the word of Christ then dwells in us richly. Now, there's several things to draw out from that. And the first thing is that when it comes to our singing, the words are always first, and the music is second. Words lead, music follows. And it's the word of Christ in us that we sing, that's the key thing. It really, truly is. The second thing is that our music, you see, is the servant of the words. The second thing is that our singing is to be diverse. What does it say here? There's psalms, there's hymns, there's spiritual songs. Now, there could easily be a whole lot of messages into what does that mean? I mean, what are the psalms? What are the hymns? What are the spiritual songs? And, well, that's beyond the time limit that I have here this morning, and I'm not going to go into it. But I see several things here that really do stand out that I want to speak into. What's being said when it talks here about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I believe that there's lots of room. In fact, there's a need. There's a must, if you would, for difference and diversity in what we sing. We are to have a wide variety of words and of music in our times of worship. Specifically, what do I mean? New songs, old songs. There's diversity, there's difference. Songs of joy and songs of lament. Songs of rest, songs of challenge. Songs of repentance and songs of assurance and peace. No one dominates, but all of that speaks into the fact there's diversity in our worship, in song, as we gather together. Finally, how are we to sing? We are to sing with hearts that have been shaped by grace. If I can just go back. Where is that? There we are. No. Where is the... I'm past it. Give me the Colossians 3:16 verse, if you can get me there, because I wasn't thinking of going back there. But can you pull that up for me, Lori? The verse 16. There. Okay. Thank you very much. You see the word thankfulness. We're to do all of our singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. The word that's used there really is the word for grace. It's the one place in the New Testament where they translate the word grace with thankfulness. All the times they translate it with grace, but it's like we're to sing with grace in our hearts. Grace is the outstanding way that God relates to us. And grace is the way that we are to relate to each other as we sing. Our hearts are to be shaped by grace. God's attitude to us, it's to be our attitude to each other. Can you put me back on track with my one now? Just two final, I'll get through it here. Oh, there we go. Oh, there we are. Thank you. So, we're to sing. What that means, this kind of grace that shapes our relationships with each other, is that we're to sing with deference and not out of preference. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong at all. In fact, I rejoice in this. This is the great gift that God has given us in Knox Church. And there's been many the person that has told me that what we do here would never work. It can't work. I mean, and they choose to go in other directions and ways. And that's to have the diversity that we have in worship, a 9 o'clock and an 11 o'clock that are quite different. But what does it mean to sing with deference and not preference? Well, it doesn't mean that you can't have a liking to make this the primary service and all of this the primary way that you worship God. But there's to be a deference in our hearts, in the fellowship that we have in the local church to the other. Now, what does that actually mean in practice? This is not something that comes out of God's Word. I trust as you examine Scripture, most of the rest of what I said before has. But in my mind, what that might mean, what that could mean, that there would be maybe one Sunday a year where you would attend the 11 o'clock service simply to communicate to them that you love and value and cherish and respect and honor who they are and how they worship God. I'll be saying exactly the same thing to them at 11 that they come here, and I'll just take your hearing aids out to some of them, but that's okay, right? It's the deference, one to another, not the preference, because there have been people that I have met who I have heard say, I'll never, ever go to a service where they play the drums. I've heard that. And I've heard others say, I'll never, ever go to a service where they play the organ. And that's preference. That's not deference. And that's the first thing to say. The second thing out of this heart shaped by grace, is that we're to sing with one voice, the voice of a thankful people. The voice we raise in worship is a congregational voice. It's the united voice. It's the voice of unity in this congregation. It's not any one particular voice. It's all of our voices together, raising praise to God as a thankful people for the gospel, for the story of God. So much of what I have said, I believe, gets represented in the table that we're going to gather around this morning.